Violent protests erupted in Nepal's marginalized indigenous communities as police attacked opponents marching against a new national constitution. 8 police officers were killed in western Nepal in the city of Tikapur, 260 miles west of the capital city of Kathmandu, as police sought to keep protesters away from government buildings. Before protesters clashed with police in Tikapur, 4 marchers had died after being assaulted by police. Since the new constitution was proposed in mid-August, indigenous communities, including the Tharau ethnic minority, have organized protests, fearing they would lose political representation under the new district system. Tharau ethnic community activists are seeking a separate state in the new constitution. The Guardian newspaper reports that the Tharau minority has struggled to overcome decades spent as bonded slaves to high-caste landowners. For years, Nepal has been governed by an interim constitution. But now there is a sense of urgency for a new constitution in rebuilding after the massive earthquake in April. Human Rights Watch has called for an independent investigation of the deaths in recent protests. Overall, the New York-based Human Rights Monitor blames the Nepalese government for failing to engage with the local community and address its concerns. After this spring's failure to win new rent protections in the New York State Legislature, tenant activists in gentrified Brooklyn are testing out new organizing models to promote affordable housing. In the Crown Heights section of Brooklyn, activists are borrowing collective bargaining techniques from labor unions to win concessions from developers. Activists are now pressing to put binding rent protection agreements directly into building deeds. The ultimate goal of the Crown Heights Tenant Union is to create a neighborhood-wide compact between landlords and tenants in order to regulate rent increases and to set standards for repairs and renovations. The tenant union came close to winning an argument with the private equity firm Burke Layton, which owns 4 buildings in Crown Heights, but it fell apart after the buildings were sold to a new real estate company. That experience, says tenant organizer Joel Feingold, led the group to look at collective bargaining strategies to save housing for the entire neighborhood. Over the past 5 years, new landlords, often backed by large Wall Street private equity firms, have flooded the neighborhood, buying up buildings and filling them with new residents who often pay 3 or 4 times the existing rent. To force old residents to leave, landlords sometimes engage in harassment campaigns and illegal tactics. According to the news magazine In These Times, the Crown Heights Tenant Union has grown exponentially in less than 2 years. Feingold sees this as a sign that the union model is able to gain residents' trust, a crucial challenge for affordable housing groups across the country. In San Francisco, it took a brief 2-minute consultation for Jeff Harrington to sign up as a medical marijuana patient and so legally purchase cannabis. Across the country in Connecticut, an established patient-physician relationship is required for prescribing medical marijuana. Further, marijuana can only be dispensed by a licensed pharmacist. The Center for Public Integrity reports there are multiple standards for prescribing medical marijuana in 23 states and the District of Columbia that run medical marijuana programs. Meanwhile, the federal government continues to classify marijuana as a controlled Schedule I drug and refuses to offer guidance to state-run medical marijuana programs. Schedule I drugs, which include heroin, LSD, ecstasy, and peyote, are classified as having a high potential for abuse and having no currently accepted medical use. State medical cannabis programs vary greatly. In Vermont, for example, a medical marijuana patient is allowed to have 2 mature marijuana plants and possess 2 ounces of pot. In Washington state, a patient can have 15 marijuana plants and 24 ounces of pot. States also vary on which medical diagnoses qualify for marijuana treatment. Most states cover AIDS, cancer, and chronic pain, but only New Hampshire covers marijuana treatment for traumatic brain injuries. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Nigel Victor Rees.